I was in a men's Bible study recently, which was based on a series of books in which control was spoken of as an entirely evil thing. It was so strongly condemned that the word control was made out to be almost a curse word, an idol that destroys lives, families, and churches. This is a popular notion these days. Often we hear of a controlling person or someone who has control issues, and our knee-jerk reaction is to think, I hope that's not me. The last thing I want to do is to control anything or anybody. But when I hear such ideas, my response is to think, what if we go the opposite way and refuse to control anything? What kind of a world would this be if everybody gave up all efforts to control everything? Imagine two men who buy houses next to each other, both needing a whole lot of work. The yards are a foot high and are overgrown with weeds, windows are broken out, the roofs leak, and in both lawns there are several rusted, junky cars that are beyond hope. One of these men is industrious and gets to work immediately. He mows his lawn, replaces the broken windows, has the junky cars towed away, gives his house a new coat of paint, and fixes his leaky roof. But the other man does nothing. After a month, the houses could hardly look any different. But if you ask the man why he hasn't done any repairs, he justifies his lack of ambition on not wanting to be a controlling personality like his neighbor. He just sits on his rotting porch singing, "Que sera, sera, whatever will be." Control is not always bad, and refusing to exercise control is not always virtuous. One thing that is obvious is that Christians are called to control themselves. Jesus says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And Paul declares that self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Most Christians would not question this, but some find fault when people make any effort to control other people. Sure, you can control yourself, but leave everybody else alone and let them control themselves. But there is also a problem with that. There are some people who, by necessity, must exercise a measure of control over others. This is called leadership. When the Apostle Paul lists some of the gifts the Holy Spirit gives to believers, he includes the gift of administrations. This is the ability to organize people and churches to serve God well. Another Bible version calls this gifts of leadership, and another simply calls it managing. But to manage people is to control. If you don't control a situation or a business or a group, you're not managing it at all. And in any endeavor, whether spiritual or secular, where there is no control or managing or leadership, the result will always be failure. When Benedict and I were personally traveling to Africa for conferences and evangelistic meetings, I often sent her over ahead of me to organize for the meetings. Sometimes when the pastors saw an African lady coming to organize things, they showed her little respect and urged her to give them the money that she had brought. They assured her that they would take care of all the details and she could relax in her hotel room. But Benedicta would have no part of that. She never surrendered her place of authority. She determined the budget and personally oversaw the expenses and the plans for the meetings. Some of the pastors were shocked and felt that she was a very controlling person. But Benedicta was simply doing her job, and she was not about to just hand the pastors a bunch of money and let them do as they pleased. And she managed things well and made sure that all went smoothly. This was an example of good control, and had she not done this, she would not have been doing her job. In the book of Romans, Paul writes, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." In Hebrews, we read, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account." Whether in the church or in government, there will always be leaders whose job it is to exercise a measure of control over other people. When you study the lives of successful entrepreneurs, you find that they all have an element of control in their personality. sloppy, disorganized, lackadaisical, careless men and women will never make it as entrepreneurs. They would be far better working for someone else who will pay them hourly or monthly wages. People who excel in the business world are always very self-disciplined, and they're also not timid in letting their employees know exactly what they expect and in making sure that they fulfill their responsibilities. To lead a multi-million-dollar corporation or to pastor a megachurch of 10,000 or more people, or even to pastor a smaller church of 75 people, you had better be able to keep things and keep your staff under control. Even going way back to the book of Genesis, we can see that Joseph was a born leader and administrator. After he finished interpreting Pharaoh's dream for him and telling him to expect 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of drought and hardship, Joseph's administrative gift kicked in and he encouraged the leader of Egypt, the Pharaoh, to select a wise man to organize a food-saving campaign. The Bible says in Genesis 41, "Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine." In the power of the Holy Spirit, Joseph gave Pharaoh the organizational strategy that would save Egypt. Pharaoh needed no further convincing, and he appointed Joseph in charge of this program on the spot. As a 30-year-old young man, Joseph would control an entire nation and lead and direct hundreds, if not thousands, of delegated workers in this God-given project. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul could have been called a controlling personality. He had men that admired him and followed him, and he felt perfect freedom to send them to various churches as he was led by the Spirit. He wrote to the churches that looked to him for apostolic leadership and told them in very specific terms how the believers must behave. He wrote to the churches that looked to him for apostolic leadership and told them in very specific terms how the believers must behave, who should or should not be considered as elders, and he even gave instructions about excommunicating a man who had been involved in sexual immorality. There is a word in the New Testament that people absolutely despise, and that word is submission. The Bible commands church members to submit to their leaders, wives to submit to their husbands, children to submit to and obey their parents, and citizens to submit to the governing authorities that rule in their nation. And this clearly implies the idea that there are some people who will control and direct others, never totally, but at least in some measure. There would be no point in telling people to submit to leadership if their attitude was, "Ain't nobody gonna control me about nothing." Of course, our ultimate submission is to Jesus Christ, and that is why we call him Lord, which means he's the boss. To receive Jesus and be born again involves believing that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins and rose again from the dead, that we might be justified in the sight of God. But in believing, we also submit. We make Jesus our Lord and give him total control over our lives. And sometimes he delegates some of his control to his disciples, making them parents, church leaders, bosses, and business owners. And with that delegated authority and position of leadership, we will exercise a measure of control over other people's lives. And when we find ourselves in that position, we would do well to heed some of the final words of King David, who wrote, "He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God."